Expressions from St. Paul is listener-supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. In this powerful Father's Day message, Dr. Williams digs into the parable of the prodigal son. He teaches that for those of us that are fathers, we have to be forgiving and we have to let things go. Take a listen.
The father demonstrated what a good man ought to be. He didn't worry about what the boy had spent. He didn't worry about how many people he had ran around with and took the advantage of him. He was happy that my son was lost, but now he is found. What a joy it is when somebody been in the world and you haven't seen them for a long time and they show up. I tell you, I don't blame them. I love that father. He forgot about the past and he looked at the future. Hallelujah. You ought to let some stuff go so you can enjoy now. Now is the time to enjoy the Lord.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 down through 21. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Ladies, you might not know this, but men, any man in this church, if he doesn't know this, that means then when church is over, please stop. I will take some time to help you. He had two sons. They both grew up under a real father. A real father. Now, as they grew up, and some of you brothers in here don't say it out loud, but you know, you understand that because you did it. Quit being so hard on other folks for what you have already done. And the only reason you're not doing it now, you done got too old. You shuck a leg when you can shake it. And Tommy said, when a boy grows into a man, his manhood pushes him. His manhood disturbs him. His manhood keeps him from sleeping at night. I'm not talking about what I read. That's as he's growing in the manhood. And the closer he gets to manhood, the enemy, he has two natures, spiritual nature and the fleshly nature. And the closer he get to being a man, his fleshly nature pushes him and tells him, look at her. Now, in these days, it's very difficult. It was better in those days because you see everything now. The only way you don't see is you can't see. And I said this a few months ago, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to add on television. Anybody tell me any different, I would never stand there and listen to them. Any man, a real man, I mean a man, any man gets 18 and 17, 18 and 19 years old and older, and he cannot be moved by a good-looking woman, he is dead. Don't get too holed up in here for me today. I know you. And so what happened, what we have done, and this is no indictment against mothers, but I would say, for me, 70% of our boys have been, and is now, been raised by women. So they don't know, many of them copy what they see. Amen. I was reminiscing with one of my brothers before he passed about his mother. I said, your mother was two in one. She was in one, she wasn't going to take nothing. And number two, she loved us. He said, well, we didn't think so growing up. I said, if it hadn't been for her, you'd have served time in jail. Because you made me get two whoopings listening to him. So let's shape these boys. He said that one of them, he came to him and said, Daddy, Papa, I want you to divide to me my portion. Now I hear what you're saying. Because in those days they left something for the children. We can't leave nothing because we put it on us. We put it on our hair and on our feet and we can't leave nothing. And then we go and pay $90 to a concert and if there's $20 here, we complain. This is men. This isn't Father's Day. You become a man before you become a father. Am I dreaming? So, if you haven't been taught nothing, you don't have no idea what it means to be a father. None. I grew up in a house, they said. My daddy said, you date all you want to date. If you want to date, I'm not trying to stop you. But if a girl gets pregnant by you, you're going to marry her. In those days, the law would help you. I'm going to tell you something to make you laugh. And I didn't know any better, so I did it. That happened in my family. So we lived in my grandfather's house. The house was off of the ground quite high. And what I did to help my family member, I said we had put some nails at the top of the window. And we put a rope on each side. And we'll bring Bob in the house tonight. And we had one of the bedrooms, there was two beds in it. And I said, what we'll do, we would put Bob in the bed. And you get under the bed. Because Bob would bark. And so, and I said, in the morning at 3:00, I'll wake you up. And you get up and you go out the window so nobody would never know you were gone. And so Bob couldn't bark because he's in the bed, comfortable. So the next day they tried to find out what happened to the family member. And so I was the first person they asked. I said, well, you know, you can never kid. I said, sometime when you're sleeping, when you wake up, some people are gone. I lie. And don't look at me. Don't look at me. If you're above one, you lie too. He was gone for 2.5 years. And we set up, I was 13 years old, we set up a network where he could write to somebody else where we know he was okay. Then we would give the message to our parents because they didn't know where he was. And then when we didn't tell them until we were grown and had left home. Then we told them what we were looking for. And my mother said, if I would have found that out, you never would have got grown. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, 13 years old, I loved him so I didn't want him to get in no trouble. Amen. Church, habits being broken today didn't start today. They've been going on. And we act like that it's just started. I repeat to you. Many, I've worked with groups who was doing research. Many men who are fathers, and they said, it is said they were no good, not the truth. They didn't tell the other side. Them and their wife just couldn't get along. So that doesn't make a man no good because you all can't get along. It might be a little bit of you. I know a lot of stuff in the research. There is nobody I would want in the bed with me sleeping. I know you're going to get quiet then. If you're going to be in the bed with me and I am your husband, I need some movement. Did I say the wrong thing, Carl? And some of the divorces that I know were separated because there wasn't no movement. You can sleep with a pillow if it's not going to be no movement. I just wished I had the time. So, listen careful. The man, the brother who stayed at home, he was a phony. He was nice, didn't create no problem for his father, worked in the field all the time, and was very productive. But he was a phony, like a lot of people today go to church, they're phonies. Let me tell you, you say, what do you mean he was a phony? Very simple. He said to his daddy, when the boy said, divide my portions, and he left. The boy said to the daddy, nothing. But when he got his portion and went to a far country, you can be in your house in a far country. Far countries are not in New York. It can be next door to you. For your far country could be in church. So the boy left. Prodigal, the young boy, he spent all of his possession, all of his money on women and his friends. Peace be still. Peace be still. And when he had spent it all, enjoyed himself. You have a whole lot of friends. You got some friends now. You're some people now. You think they're your friends. You get broke. No, let me put it another way. You get sick. friends. He had no money left. Spent it all. All of his buddies he's having a ball with wouldn't help him. They didn't even come around him. Then, church, so he had to go and join, become a citizen of that small town. And in that town, the only job that was open for him was, and where I came from, they called it slopping hogs. It's feeding the hogs. So the man that he joined when he became a citizen of that country, he said, he hired him. He said, your job would be now to feed the hogs. And in order for him to live, he had to eat the same slop. He had to eat it. He had no surviving method. Because all that he had spent it. So, one day I would use the word, it was hot. And when he got to feed the hogs, he had to eat the same thing the hogs ate. And now here it's hot, it's hot. And if it's hot, you can smell those hogs. So he had nowhere to live. He had to live in the hog pen. Just be careful. Now here's a young boy came out of a manger. The parable says, you said, well, how you know he came out? Very easy. It's in your Bible. So after he got in that pig pen, with that slop, no roof over his head. Yes, sir. Listen careful. That young man lay down there with those hogs. And while he was laying down there with the hogs, he came to himself. Yes, sir. Ask yourself this morning, have you really came to yourself? Are you just shucking and jiving? So he said, look, to himself, why would I live like this when where I came from, my daddy had servants, and I lived and slept in an air-conditioned house. I didn't have to do anything but just work for my daddy and come home and eat and go to bed. Slept on silk sheets. The maids made up the bed. So I'm going to wake up since I've come to myself. I'm going home. And what did he say? He said, Father, I am no more worthy to be called your son. Not worthy. But just one of your hard servants. And so then, he got up. And Pepper standing on that aisle and back. I want you to watch something here today. His father always was looking for him, waiting for his son to come back. And fathers, the reason I'm demonstrating this to you, you can't make your son love you. And he can't make you stop loving him. So, his father and watching for the son, all of a sudden, come slow, Papa, slow. All of a sudden, his father, That's my son. Come here, brother. That's my son. It was against the law for men to hug men. No man hugged no man in those days. So when the father saw, now listen careful, this is the father's son. This is his blood. So he ran and grabbed him and hugged him. And the Bible said, and he kissed him and he kissed him. The father. He didn't worry about what that crook that was at home, phony, acting like he was all right. And the father said, oh my God, to the servant, thank you, Pepper. He said to the servant, bring me the best robe I got. You better take your seat now. And he put it on him, the best robe. And believe me when I tell you, they wore some good stuff. Anytime you can wear anything for 6 months and it doesn't wear out, it's good. And so, not only did he put a robe on him, he said, bring me my nicest ring. Put a ring on his finger. And then he said, you go and get the best calf, the fattest one we got out there, and kill him so we can have a party. Party. Now, I say this all the time. Why is it that we have parties now? And we dance and clown and get loud all over the place. And then we come to church and we act like we have amnesia. If I'm going to have a ball at your party, I'm going to praise God in church. Because he's the one supplied the party for me. And so when the boy heard that there was in the field, he heard all of the noise. He came up. So it must have been down below. Or the ground wasn't smooth. And he said, Daddy, I've been with you all the time. And I've served you. And you have never given me a party. Never recognized me. Now, he's the one that was nice at home. But the other one, according to the boy, was no good because he had gone out and wasted his substance. That, friends, that's not any friends, surprise. And maybe the reason he didn't go nowhere, nobody didn't want him. The daddy took him back. And he acted like he never learned. What I love about the father, I still said, the father never lost his love for his son. I never shall forget it. When my son, we were preparing for his funeral, someone came to my house and said, so-and-so said, they're not coming because your son was on drugs before he got better. I said, we don't need them. The funeral, he had insurance. The funeral's paid for. They don't have to come. In fact, it would be good if they didn't come because they don't have anything to contribute. And the people couldn't get in. And then if I'd have told them and investigated their family, they would have never spoke to them again. Your family rickety and rotten and dirty and low down, and you have the nerve to talk about somebody else's family? You don't need some chastise. You need a Mississippi whooping. Are you listening? So, Father, you didn't raise your son, but you can love him. I hooked up at least 10 sons and fathers. Because even if you're home, it doesn't mean that you raise your son. To have his mother doesn't allow the father to punish the son if he's the older or the younger. And Pepper said, Peckerin. So, ladies, let this be your last day saying men are no good. They got some good men. some good men. And the reason I know they have some good men is because the Father demonstrated what a good man ought to be. He didn't worry about what the boy had spent. He didn't worry about how many people he had ran around with and took advantage of him. He was happy that my son was lost, but now he is found. What a joy it is when somebody been in the world and you haven't seen them for a long time and they show up. I tell you, I don't blame them. I love that father. He forgot about the past and he looked at the future. Hallelujah. You ought to let some stuff go so you can enjoy it now. Now is the time to enjoy the Lord. Now is the time. My son came home and said to me, I found out he was smoking marijuana. I'll never forget that. First thing I said to my late wife, I said, I can't say too much, but I'm going to do everything I can to help him get off. He said, Daddy, I would never have tried it, but there was a young lady that I liked, and she wanted to talk to me. She said, if you talk to me, you're going to have to smoke weed. Now, before you all say anything, brother ones, you didn't have no weed, but you did something else, right, brother? You wasn't going to turn her down. Amen. But the most important thing was he had my blood, and I wasn't going to kick him away and around. I was going to do my best to love him. And I want to tell you, it's personal though. I paid $15,000 in Stockton to get him in one of those houses, the Institute, to get him treatments. I paid $15,000. I shall never forget that. I borrowed $10,000 on my home. Never thought about it. The reason I didn't think about it, because God gave that boy to me. And if I want to demonstrate real love, I got to forget about how I feel, and I got to put forth some action. What about you? This is Father's Day. You hear me? I had a friend. His son went crazy. Went in the world and just went wild. Came to my home some years ago and said, I'm hungry. I said, come on in. Go in the back room. There's a shower. Get you a shower. He didn't have no changing clothes, but I gave him some. When he got through, food was ready. My late wife was working. I fixed some food. Fed him. I said, take a nap. Then when he got ready to leave that evening about 6, I put some money in his hand for him to go get a room. That was my friend's son. You said sometimes, somebody told me last week, Pastor, you're too kind to people. No, I'm never kind enough. I'm following the footsteps of Jesus. That's why I'm not mean. That's why I'm not evil. That's why I don't get upset on your craziness. That's why I said, thank you, Jesus. The reason I praise him, we ought to take the time today and just thank him. I tell you, there's so many good men he's blessed around us. We ought to say to him, thank him. Thank you for all that you've done. My brothers and sisters, this young boy came back home. I don't have no record. He left again. So I can tell you out of my spirit, count your blessings. Name them one by one. You'll be surprised to see what God has done. Count your blessings. If it had not been for God, you wouldn't be here. I tell you, all men are not bad. Some men need your encouragement so they can move on up just a little higher. It's amazing to me. Jacob was a crook, but God loved him. It's amazing to me, maybe not to you, but to me it's amazing. It's amazing to me that David messed up and God put him on the throne. It's amazing to me. Paul killed God's Christian and God made him, my brothers and sisters, God made him. He made him the one of the most popular kings that he's ever had. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that God can love the worst and we can't even love the best. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that Peter cursed and Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he told him to say, go in and tell Peter and the other that I'm alive. It's amazing to me that God can forgive me, but you can't. That's amazing to me. It says something like this. One of all life's billows, you're tempted and tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Have you ever stopped to count them? And then you name them. See how blessed God has been to you. I pray that every father in here would let some stuff go so he can enjoy God. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. God will show you how to bless you. Will you stand, please? Will you stand? We want to extend the invitation. Think about the young man who went astray, had nowhere to live. Think about
when
it.
Upon life's billows you are
think about it.
Tempted,
but
tossed.
When you came back to God,
when you are discouraged, thinking it. All is lost, count your you many blessings, though you name them one by one,
and come back to God.
And it will surprise you what the Lord has done.
Will you come today and say
count
yes?
Your blessings, name them
will
one
yes
by one.
Count
your blessings, see what come. God has done.
Count
your blessings, name them one by one.
Will you come to
count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count
your blessings,
name them.
there's two people, two, that I see. It's a man and a woman. You want to come, but you're reluctant. God would meet you in the middle of the aisle. Just step out and come. Don't worry about what about it. You say, well, I came with someone. I don't want them to see what I'm doing. When this time is over, they're not going with you. But God will always be with you. There is a man and a woman that needs to come today. Will you say yes to him? Will you say yes to him? Will you come? He's speaking to you. Will you come? Will you come? Thank you. I've done my duty. Now it's in your hands.